WABC.
And welcome back to the DX Audio Service for August 1997. I'm Fred Fobey, and we have some news and notes from the publisher of DX News. Paul writes, we received word that two of our members lost parents recently. Steve Francis's mother died on June the 15th, and Gary Hodek's father died on July the 8th. Our thoughts are with them and their families. Earlier, Gary had sent some information to me about obtaining some stamps from Canada and Mexico. The United States Post Office offers them now. For more information, request a catalog from the Fulfillment Center. That's F-U-L-F-I-L-L-M-E-N-T Service Center. Post Office Box 419636, Kansas City, Missouri, 64179-0996. From Wayne Heinen, he writes that unfortunately the little guy is taking it on the chin in that his provider is going to be no more. So if you'd like to send email to Wayne, especially if you have any information about stations which are going off the air or perhaps making changes, you can send him email at NRCLOG, that's NRCLOG, at AOL.com. As soon as Wayne shakes out his providers, maybe we might have another address, but for now, that is the address. If you have any information you'd like to share with us on changes, and of course, please feel free to post them in our DX Audio Service email reflector. If you'd like to write to Paul Swearingen, you can write to him at PLSBCBDXER at AOL.com. And of course, my email address here is W8HDU at WLIO.com. Now, at first glance, the guy who's walking in our studio looks a lot like a used car salesman, but I think it's somebody we know. Here's Phil with the Market Scope.
1410 KBAM.
Hi, DXers and radio connoisseurs. This is Phil Wayne for Market Scope, a monthly glimpse into radio happenings of interest to most broadcast buffs. This time around, Mark Marino checks in with format changes in L.A. and Chicago. Mark, you must have one heck of a good radio.
Thank you, Phil. This time we're going to look at two different radio stations in two different markets. One's just about to go away, and another one's just come on the air. The first is WJAM 950 in Chicago, soon to be taken over by Douglas Broadcasting. And during the interim period, apparently just a few days ago, they got rid of all of their disc jockeys except for two ladies in the morning.
Lady Morning.
Oh, yeah. WJAM 950 AM where hip-hop lives. We sound just like we on that record for real, don't we?
I know. You know what?
What?
I just don't want anyone calling us trying to offer us a record deal because I like my morning job.
Okay. 6:33 to AM. She likes it so much. Ray Ray has the word on the street coming up next. It's SWV with some help from Puff Daddy.
Looking at my rollie, it's about that time.
I need love, love, love.
WJAM at 9:50 a.m. where hip-hop lives. From their upcoming album, Release Some Tension, which is always important, it's SWV. 6:37, I want to tell it like it is Tuesday weather-wise today. It's going to be mostly sunny and warm, high near 90 degrees. Inching up that way now, just peaking around 70 all around. It is Melly Mel.
And Ray Ray.
What's up, girl?
Ah.
On Tell It Like It Is Tuesday. And we're talking about all these supposed role models, personalities, like Eddie Murphy, you know, Dennis Rodman, Mike Tyson. Is sorry enough. You know, what should they really be doing to make it right for doing all that crazy mess?
Well, somebody. I want my money back. Yep, tight.
I don't blame you. See, that's why I didn't get it. That's why I didn't pay for view nothing. I viewed afterwards. But we got somebody on the jam lines. Good morning. Who is this?
This Papa, yeah.
Hey, Tata. Tata still up making ruckus.
Oh, snap. Now, Mike Tyson.
Uh-huh.
Now, y'all, everyone should have seen the fight. What I say is the man needs to get his ear, get the man his ear back.
Thanks right, for bye, making bye. The switch to the AM and the AM, all right?
Bye.
6:40 in the AM. It's time for Mr. Ray Ray and the word on the street.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Oh, on this first day of July, yay, it's almost the 4th. What you got going on, girl?
Well, since we were just talking about Mike Tyson, he apologized yesterday for biting Evander Holyfield during the Saturday night fight. Got to say happy birthday to Mr. Mike Tyson.
Oh.
Today is his birthday. He's 31 today.
Oh, boy.
Also, Missy Elliott. We can't stand the rain. What's
we
up,
gotta
girl? We could sit in the back of my feet, honey.
No. Yeah.
And that's the first wrap-up for the Word on the Street, and yeah. I am Ray Ray.
All right, Ray Ray, 6:42, on the telly like it's his Tuesday. How appropriate. He has a birthday, and he already had his cake, sort of, kind of.
Oh, murder. But you know what? It's reported that he's going to pay just 10% of the $30
million. Right, he's supposed to find $3 million at
right,
least.
Right, right.
Did you pay for pay-per-view, Mike?
No.
Oh, well,
no.
You're lucky. Okay, you won't be looking for your check in the mail then.
No.
I'm looking for mine.
Mm-hmm. With LaToya and Jack? Who gets the snake? That's what I want to know.
Deanna, you ladies ready to represent?
Yes.
With the ladies of We Jam Mornings. Great, great, great. Let's go ahead and get started with this. Yeah, I got to get in the groove right. Now, you ready, Ray Ray?
Yeah, I'm ready.
We're going to work it out today, right? Come on now. Who's this ripping up the roll call?
It's Deanna.
Can you represent?
Yes, sir. You know I can, y'all. I'm on the roll call.
Whose world is this?
The world is mine. But now it's mine.
All right, now, name the school that's got it going on.
It's Big Son, the Mighty Ego.
Ah, and who gets your love to the break of dawn?
My mama and my daddy.
We know you're living fat, so where you at?
Southside is in the house.
Southside.
Deanna just turned it out.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Miss Deanna, what grade you in over there, Dixon?
I'm going to 7th.
7th grade. Do your thing, girl. Go ahead and send your shouts out.
Well, I want to send a shout out to my best friends, my cousin, Renee, my sister, Janelle, and to especially my mama.
All right.
Mama.
Especially if she gave me some money. That's how that song should go. No, I'm just joking. Hold on, Miss Deanna, okay?
Okay.
All right, now. Who's that with that radio up? It must be caller 2, and we know you're there.
We know you're there.
Okay, pump it up like you just don't care.
Don't care.
And if you're ready to
flow
with the
950,
here you go.
You don't stop.
See, Ray Ray got the layback. Yeah, now who's this ripping up the roll call?
It's Mika.
Can you represent?
Yes. I made the switch from 106 to 950L.
Whose world is this?
No violence and crime. You know it's gotta be mine.
Mine.
Hey, girl, name the school that had it going on.
It was CVS, the Big V.
Ah, and who gets your love to the break of dawn?
My baby. Sorry.
We know you're living fat, so where you at?
400's in the house.
Wow.
Southside is in the house.
Without a doubt.
Mika done turned it out.
Big Mika. Go ahead, girl. Send those shouts out.
I want to send a shout out to Camille, her friend Candace, Anita, Keisha, my cousin Keisha, Sodi, Sale, Jamal, Jackie, and all her kids. My mama, my niece Tyler, Kobe. Everybody that know me, everybody working up at the V this summer. What's up?
All right, Ray Ray, hit these ladies off for representing in style.
Well, I'm going to break you off with the FUBU pack, which includes the FUBU t-shirt, hat, sticker, and a FUBU poster with Guess Who Ladies, LL Cool J.
And he should be on the poster because every time I see him, he has on FUBU gear.
He sponsors it.
Yeah, he's a big sponsor because he was in a Gap ad with a FUBU hat on. How you going to act?
Okay.
moving right along, what else you got for him, Ray Ray?
That's all.
What? No. Oh, those are the wrong. No, that's the wrong sheet.
Oh, okay, cool. Then we're going to give you $10 with taste coupons.
Yeah, $10 worth of taste coupons.
See, Melly,
well.
I was trying to keep them to myself. And here go Melly.
Girl, give it to me.
See, you see how she... Ray Ray.
I'm dirty. I'm sorry.
Girl, you got to give them up.
I'm sorry.
All right, ladies. Well, you enjoy yourself at the Taste, and thank you so much for representing and making the switch to the AM in the AM. You guys stay right there, all right?
All right.
All right. 6:55 in the morning. Of course, we got more music in the, on the way, because we got more music every morning, every day,
right
here on We Damn 950 AM. It is Melly Mel.
And Ray Ray.
We'll be right back at you.
Tell it like it is Tuesday with a Mad Flavor Morning Crew. We Damn. WEJM Chicago 950 AM. 950 AM. Where hip hop lives.
As we say a big farewell to AM 950 We Jam, let's say a big hello to a new station. It signed on about a month ago. We'll go up the dial 200 kilohertz and west about 2,000 miles to welcome the future voice of the Los Angeles Dodgers, the new Extra Sports 1150.
I take 10 steps and I crawl. Now who's this in the
407? This is AM 1150, Extra Sports Los Angeles. Yes, Los Angeles, AM 1150. Set it on your car dials. This is the only place you want to be for sports. If you want to know what's happening in Los Angeles, you will get it. Starting with Big Show in the morning, the Fabulous Sports Babe, the Notorious V.I.C., Vic Jacobs in the Brick House, 12 to 3. Is there anything on from 3 to 5 here? Oh, yeah, Jim Rome. It's on 3 to 5.
I don't want to hear any more of that man's drivel than I have to. I've had sound of his voice in my ears for a solid week, and he hasn't uttered an intelligent word yet. Not bad, huh? That ignoramus can't make a deal on his own. Only time he has any success is when he steals something from me.
From 5 to 8, me, the big nasty, Joe McDonald. And from 8 to midnight, the sports god.
I don't remember because I've been drinking all day and all night.
And that is their slogan. Yes, ladies and gentlemen. It is. Anyway, you can't get any better than this lineup here, and we are going to keep you up to date on everything that's happening in the world of Los Angeles sports. Anyway, I am here with you today because Mr. Rome has the day off, and we're here till 4:45. Hockey game coming up, Game 3, Stanley Cup Finals. The Detroit Red Wings looking to the Red Wings are looking to make it 3-0 against the Philadelphia Flyers in the Joe Louis Arena, Detroit, Michigan. And I think they're going to do it. I really think there's a very good potential. I mean, Philadelphia's gone crazy. Apparently, Lindros has been playing with a whole bunch of lines in practice, and they changed goaltenders again. Murray went back to Hextall. From Johnny in L.A., he says, I'm a longtime listener and like your show. However, it is difficult to listen to you on XTR or Extra after statements you have made in the past, calling it Mextra. And that skirt-wearing punk Jim Rome. Do you still stand by those statements, or have you a sudden change of heart? Please clear this up for your listeners now or sometime soon. Thank you, Johnny and Alan. I don't back off from the statements. Never have, never will. Say the same thing. And don't forget, this is Extra L.A., not Extra Mextra. You know, Baja Radio. No, it is not that one. So... he's almost put somebody on the air. From Eddie in Granada Hills, before I get to the Dodgers, let me say one thing about this Bulls versus the great teams issue.
I mean, I think the Bulls won their first two championships with the three-point line where it was originally. But I really believe that the three-point line has assisted the Bulls, you know, in winning because of the way they have. I mean, I credit them. They play great defense.
Jackson
is a great coach.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Jordan is you know, up there with the, you know, the five best players that ever played the game. But it just seems to me that too much is placed on them. And, you know, they've been put in a position where they have to carry the entire league.
Yeah, and
they do. And everyone falls short.
That's true. Hey, Bob, thanks.
Thank you.
Have a great call. Great call. All right, we're going to come back. More of your phone calls, 520-1150 from 818-213-310-562. And 213-562-520-1150 from Orange County, star 1150. For AirTouch cellular users and car phones, you know you go right to the top because we don't want to take too much of your money. And finally, our fax number, 818-845-0005. My name is Joe McDonald. We are here with you till 4:45, coming up at 4:40. JT Snow of the San Francisco Giants right here on Extra Sports, 1150 Los Angeles.
Extra Sports, 1150.
Hey, Joe, thanks a lot. It's 4:18 right now. The problem is through South Central L.A. as we speak on the Harbor Freeway southbound at Martin Luther King Jr. I'm Ann Maria Tafoya, AM 1150 Extra Sports L.A.
Hey, this is the Manhattan, Joey Heim, along with my partner, the sports guy, David Smith. Dave, tonight we got the Philadelphia Flyers at Detroit.
Chicago's also up 2-0. Game 3 Friday. Looks like it could be a sweep. Joey, also Carnash, sports god the magnificent, and Lamar live in studio tonight, 8 to midnight.
Actually, more like 8:30 because of the hockey game. But you can join us, the sports gods.
How about Gennaro Hernandez and David Kamau also?
And Mia St. John, three boxers. Well, and the one I got on would be four. Extra Sports 1150.
You always get extra bases with Extra Sports 1150.
At 4:21, I'm Jeff Biggs with your baseball update. Coming up at the top of the hour, the Angels will open up a four-game series in Minnesota with the Twins, Jason Dixon, and Bob Tewksbury, the pitchers in that game. The Dodgers and Giants will play one more at the stadium tonight with Ismael Valdez and William Van Landingham. There was some daytime action on this Thursday.
There's other changes coming up in both the L.A. and the Chicago markets, and when we get information on those and maybe some tapes, we'll let you in on it. I'm Mark Marino for the DX Audio Service.
That's your August Market Scope. Thanks, Mark. It was good to hear from you again. If you have any interesting changes in your market or would like to provide air checks of area stations for a Market Scope feature, contact me, Phil Wayne, at 135 and a half Midland Avenue, Findlay, Ohio, 45840-4642. We're always in need of good material for the DX Audio Service. Now let's go down to sunny Sun City Center, Florida, and visit with a man who has a martini at 4, dinner at 5, and feeds the alligator at 6. If you're down there, make sure you leave right after dinner. Now, here is John Bowker.
Thanks, Phil. And now, Historical Moments in Radio, a collection of stories about the development of broadcasting on the AM radio dial. And today, we'll learn what seemed to be going on about a year after the Federal Radio Commission was formed. I'm going to be reading from the July 1928 edition of Radio Broadcast magazine. The editor reports that he still has a concern about the development of the AC receiver. That is, you know, one not relying on batteries alone. It hasn't caused the big upset in the industry that he'd predicted, but he wondered now in 1928 if that development, coupled with the new Zenith product that simplifies tuning, won't cause many radio receiver companies to go out of business. What radio tuning development, you ask? Why, the Zenith Corporation is now selling a radio that doesn't use 3 or 2 or even 1 radio dial. No, it uses push buttons. All your favorite stations come in with a simple push of a button. We expect an amazing show of interest, predicts this Doubleday publication in 1928. Let's see. Oh, yes, WGY in Schenectady will be transmitting television images on its regular 790 kilohertz frequency on Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday afternoons, from 1:30 in the afternoon until 2 p.m. After all, nobody listens to the radio during those odd hours. And those experimenting with radio television, that's what it was called in 1928, they'll have an opportunity to adjust their receiving equipment at those times. Uh-oh, for the first time since the government has controlled radio, the Federal Radio Commission has taken the decisive step of ordering a station off the air. WNBA in Forest Park, Illinois, one of scores that's caused continuous complaints about frequency wobbling. We feel, says the magazine, it would have been fairer to apply this elimination process to all the stations equally guilty with WNBA. Warned by this instance, it's likely that many of the other radio mosquitoes will get busy and make a belated effort to comply with the commission's regulations. We hope so. Now, here's an item I don't fully understand. It reports that the Canadian government has refused to renew the broadcasting license of the International Bible Students Association of Toronto and elsewhere throughout Canada. It announces that those Canadian licenses are canceled at the request of thousands of listeners. Now, this same religious group, religious propagandists, as they're called, is asking for one or two channels for 50,000-watt stations down in the United States. Proponents of sectarian religious groups urge that since jazz and commercial broadcasting have all the channels they want, religious stations should not be refused the opportunity of going on the air either. The only fallacy of their argument, says the magazine, is that jazz and commercial programs tend to be universal in their appeal, while any particular religious station serves only a minority of listeners in the area of its coverage. And finally, this month, we find a fascinating article in Radio Broadcast Magazine of 1928. It seems that a search through old records have brought to light several call letters that were once well known in shipping circles. In fact, each of the stations mentioned here were on board ships that met a sorry end. And the reason they weren't assigned to other ships? Superstition. They would bring bad luck to any ship they were assigned to. Now, the first set of call letters is WSB. That's right, the Voice of the South as we know it in Atlanta. It had been assigned to the motor ship Francis H. Leggett, and that sank off the Oregon coast in 1914 with the loss of two lives. Another example, KLZ, the Reynolds radio station in Denver. Remember, this is all 1928 now. That call had been assigned to the Speedwell, and that went down during a hurricane in the Caribbean with 9 souls lost. But the most sorrowful memories, however, lie behind the call letters KRE, now of Berkeley. 45 lives were lost when the Florence H. suffered an internal explosion on April 17, 1918. And the greatest monetary loss in a ship sinking? Simple. The Princess Anne went down with loss of $500,000. There was no loss of life, but my goodness. Other ships' calls that wound up on the broadcast band include WHN, WWJ, KNX, KRC, KRCA, KNBT, WNBT, WRCA, WNBC, and WNBR, and I know personally about those last five because I was personally responsible about protecting those by assigning them to ships so that whenever we needed them for the National Broadcasting Company, we could tap them. Oh, boy, and the rest is history. I'm John Bowker.
It's time now for Pete Kemp's Radio Roundup here on the DX Audio Service. Some tidbits of news about what is happening in radio. Two radio television announcing pioneers have passed away, George Fenneman and Dennis James. Ron Lundy, ex-WABC and currently on WCBS-FM, has been awarded the Bronze World Medal as Best Local Radio Personality of the Year, 1997. He was selected from 1,362 entries from over 33 nations. In our nation's capital, Bob Duckman has been hired on to Nostalgia WWDC with a mission of tweaking the station for its over 55 cent. Sad news to report is that Robert W. Morgan has lung cancer. A legend in the industry, Robert W. in the Morgan, has a long career in the Los Angeles market. In Cincinnati, WKCY has taken back its WKRC call sign on the 550 dial position. Rebecca Hendrick has joined WIBC 1070 in Indianapolis as a traffic reporter for the late morning and early midday shift. Joan Coos returns to the air from other duties at the station to report traffic in the late midday and early afternoon. WIBC has also hired on Jim Volkman as afternoon sportscaster and primary host of the evening sports talk show, replacing Jim Barbera, who left several weeks ago to pursue television and sports opportunities. Guest co-host duties will be rotating among the chief WIBC sportscaster, Bob Lamy, Pacers radio play-by-play man, Mark Boyle, and Joe Hillman, and ex-Indianapolis Colts, Joe Seisnick. Late-night talk show host Dave Elswick left WIBC on April the 11th to begin a similar late-night program of controversial talk, unusual topics, and live music from the local bands on WCCO in Minneapolis. Because of WIBC's nighttime power reduction from 50,000 watts to 10,000 watts, it makes reception difficult in some parts of Indianapolis. Some Indianapolis listeners will ironically find it easier to listen to Elswick on WCCO, which usually booms into Indianapolis at night. WRDB 1470 in Pompano Beach is off the air, and its phone number has been disconnected. In the California state, KCKC from San Bernardino dropped its majority of its all-talk format to return to its country roots. Meanwhile, KCBQ in San Diego expects to change to a Spanish format very soon. Here's a sign of the times. The official website of the Dr. Laura Show will be launched in with Dr. Laura hosting a live nationwide chat. The site at www.drlaura.com will feature audio clips from her show, sample articles from her newsletter, and merchandise from the Dr. Laura collection available for sale online. WLS 89 in Chicago fired Katherine Johns after 18 years at the station, initially as news anchor during the Larry Lujack Show. Katherine has ably run her talk show since the inception of WLS's talk format. WLS General Manager Zamira Jones cites a change of direction as the reason for the decision. Ty Wansley, formerly of Ty and Ed, will fill in until a permanent replacement is found. WCIZ 1410 has changed its calls to WUZZ. And from the obituary pages, Edith Mezurin, the woman credited with being the first female radio newscaster, died in a Schenectady hospital on Monday at age of 88. Mezurin's career began in 1926 at NBC Radio and later brought her to WINS and WOR. Mezurin later ran an advertising agency and founded American Women in Radio and Television. She had recently been inducted into the Hall of Honor of the Women's Press Club of New York. Fred Cusack, the voice of the Boston Bruins, has resigned from WSBK Channel 38, ending an era of radio and television play-by-play announcing that spanned 45 years and an estimated 3,100 games. In a war of words, overnight talk show host Dan Major has moved his show from Talk America Radio Network. In a press release, Talk America said that the only 24-hour live network will continue with quality talk. In a separate announcement, Stan Major announced that his overnight show will be moving transponders or possibly to another satellite. Talk America did not discuss Major's move, but insisted that overnight programming would continue to be live. Major's press release said that his show would continue to be on 7 days per week, and stations could pick up and choose the hours that they wanted. The new morning team of George Woods and Sherry Stone have moved on to WOAI from Omaha. KSFO is now airing Art Bell's From Coast to Coast live from 10 p.m. to 3 a.m., then rerunning the first 3 hours from 3 to 6 a.m. That's a lot of Bell. Some disgruntled local AM stations have bolted from under the wing of the National Association of Broadcasters. They will call themselves American Community AM Broadcast Association. At age 85, radio vet Studs Terkel will retire on January 1st. He has been a fixture on Chicago radio for 45 years. He'll then spend some time with the Chicago Historical Society, organizing an archive in his honor, which will contain over 6,000 tapes. Imus is back on in Cleveland. However, this time, it's on WKNR 1220. Radio Disney has gone national after a 6-month test at WKXH, KDIS, WYDE, and KCNR. Here's a great radio name, Walt Starling. He is an airborne traffic reporter in D.C. You gotta love it. Former Clinton right-arm man Dick Morris is shopping around for an on-air talk show gig. He has an on-air audition in a few places. He may be headed for, believe it or not, J-Corps. WKYN is now WBOB. Bob Means Sports on 1160. So goes it. The fabulous sports babe has moved her show out of the ESPN radio studios in Bristol, Connecticut, to the ABC radio studios in New York City. Steve McFarlane is the new morning man on KNBR Radio. He replaces station vet Frank Dill, who retired at 34 years. KABC's weekend talk show host for the last 19 years, Tom Hall, has passed away. Neil Rogers is moving from WIOD to WQAM in Miami. He won't hit the air until September the 30th. KNX recently celebrated its 29th anniversary as an all-news station. And if you'd like to contribute to this column with some gossip or information, you can contact Pete Kemp at the following address, PETEKZ1Z at AOL.com, or on the FidoNet system in the shortwave, ham, or broadcast echo areas, or by FidoNet at the Oracle at 1:141/1015. Or if you have amateur radio packet, KZ1Z at K1UOL.CT. And so much for now. It's time now for our musings to the members here on the DX Audio Service. If you're a DX Audio Service member and wish to muse, just give us a call at 419-224-1609, 24 hours a day. And since we didn't have time on our last month's edition to answer some of your questions, we'll jump into those at the end of this month's muse here on the DX Audio Service. Let's go over to the musings line and see what you have to say.
Hello, Audio Service listeners. This is Leonard Gross from Detroit, and I'm calling to let you know on the 29th of July, Honey Radio will be no more. I have no idea what the format is going to be, but they have been announcing it for the past couple of weeks that they are going to make a format change. That's on the 29th. Thanks a lot. Have a good one.
Greetings, Audio Service members. Marty Rimpaugh here, July 14th. KOFY San Mateo has ceased being Spanish. It will become KTCT, the Ticket 1050, and will be in all sports format. I don't know exactly when that will happen, but right now they're running a continuous loop, and they're describing Don and Ron and Jim Rome and Dan Cilio and various other people who will be on the ticket, including the Oakland Raiders. So that's what's happening. Coffee 1050, the Spanish format, is no more, as they are Susquehanna.
Hi there. It's 15 minutes before 6 o'clock on this Saturday evening, the 19th day of July, 1997. A few brief items. Number one, I goofed on the call letters. AM 980 is WHSR. Now in other news, 990 is coming back on the air. I don't know what they're doing, but they are just testing. They just have a silent transmitter and then they go off the air. Now in some sad news, former disc jockey who worked for years in Miami, worked in New York, and worked all over, Roby Young, died Friday at the age of 54 of a heart attack. Also in other news, 1470 WRBD, it's WWNN. That's the latest news for now. Thank you for listening and have a great day.
This is Tom Rothrock in Hagerstown, Maryland, reporting that WAYC AM 1310 in Bedford, Pennsylvania has changed call letters. The new letters are WOOX, and they carry an oldies format from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And WOOX FM is now WAYC FM in Bedford, and they carry music from the 80s and 90s. Also on a regional note, WYNS 1160 AM in Lehighton, Pennsylvania has changed formats. They now carry country. That's it for now. Talk to you later. Bye.
And to answer some of our questions on our musings to the members line about digital television DXing, I think there's going to be a couple problems enter the fold with digital stations coming on the air. First of all, if you're watching a standard NTSC signal, that is a regular television signal like you're used to now, and digital comes on the air, it's going to severely scramble the picture as well as cause a lot of harm to the audio side. So I think that if you try to DX the band and happen to have a digital station on frequency, I think it's going to muddy the waters a lot. In fact, I think digital television DXing might be impossible with some of the new techniques that they're talking about as far as reception and the way they're going to encode the video signals and such. To the question about the button which is above the shift key on a Sony ICF-2010, that is the skip button, and I'm not sure exactly what that does. I think it takes and skips a frequency, so if you're in the scan mode, you don't have to listen to a particular channel which happens to lock up, but you might want to have someone get a hold of a manual and read that over, but that is the skip button. And John, the answer to your question concerning three-letter call signs, the FCC did away with three-letter call signs a long time ago, and the only way that you can get a three-letter call sign is if you have another station in your city, which is owned by yourself, and you're able to obtain the call sign. For example, WWJ Television Channel 62 in Detroit was able to get the WWJ call sign, but that was only because CBS, who owned WWJ Radio at 950 on the AM dial, was the licensee of Channel 62. So unless you have somebody in the fold which has the three-letter call, it looks like you can't get a three-letter call sign. Of course, that doesn't stop any station, really, from using three-letter calls and then just sneaking in a four-letter call sign at the top of the hour when they give their legal ID. And so goes our musings to the members. Remember that if you'd like to contribute something to the Muse, keep it brief to the point and give us a call at 419-224-1609, 24 hours a day. As you heard on side one, we have a email reflector on our internet server, which we use to just kind of tell stories and information on the National Radio Club and the DX Audio Service. And I received an interesting piece of mail from Al Merriman, K4GLU, which I think bears repeating here on the DX Audio Service. Al writes, "After reading a number of postings about the rebirth of Radio London, I was moved to do something I haven't done for years. Got out one of my QSL albums to look at my cards from the original. I have two different cards. One is a black-on-white card with a large RL on the right and the reception info on the left. This was for the reception on 14 September 1965 from 0508 to 0531 GMT on 1133 kHz with a power of 25,000 watts. Also, I have a second card which shows a photo of the ship. Once started, I couldn't stop with just Radio London. Also, I have QSLs from Britain Radio 845 with a photo of the ship, which also is the home of Radio England 1322, which I can't remember ever hearing. Radio 270 on 1115 kHz, a large photo QSL showing the ship, and a red-white Fight for Free radio sticker. Radio Caroline North on 1520, a photo of the ship. Radio Caroline South letter on a Radio Caroline letterhead. Radio Veronica's 1562 photo QSL of the ship, and a Radio Nordsee International 1367 kHz full-color photo of the ship. This was on 1610 kHz when it first came on the air, the first station on the X-band. Others I can remember hearing but don't have QSLs from are Radio 773, which was often heard, but I never got around to sending in a report. Radio City on 1034 and Radio Scotland on 1259, both tentative receptions, one time only and never reported. And Radio Dolphin 1322, which was easily heard and reported several times, but they never replied. One interesting story concerning Radio Caroline North on 1520. On December 7, 1964, KGMN, now KFXX in Oregon City, Oregon, ran a CPC DX program which was on from 0900 GMT for 1 hour. Reception of this in the eastern United States was almost impossible due to Radio Caroline North just booming in the entire hour the program was on. I was able to get bits and pieces from KGMN using a loop to null out Caroline. But on the wire antennas, Caroline was almost completely dominant. Ah, those were the days. P.S. The reception mentioned above were made from a QTH in Northern Virginia, about 7 miles southwest of Washington, D.C., and so writes Al Merriman, K4GLU.
Anyway, I've got an article here to put on here to finish up from Tim Cronin from my local daily Southtown, and let's hope that Chris Schenkel hasn't called his last frame, my friends, as I'm a bowling fan, and I like to read about it. Anyway, Chris Schenkel, who has done it all for ABC Sports, will apparently do no more. The cancellation of the Professional Bowlers Tour, a Saturday springtime staple since 1963, effectively knocks him off the air. At 73, Schenkel has a year to go on his contract with the network and nothing to do. ABC covers college football and golf, but Schenkel, once the lead voice on the network, no longer handles either. ABC covers auto racing, but he's never done it well. ABC covers an assortment of things on wide world of sports, but Schenkel hasn't been in that part of the series for years. In the last decade or so, bowling has been his lone specialty. Saturday, when the series started with the days of black and white TV, ended at the St. Clair Bowl in Fairview Heights, Illinois. Schenkel was at his usual post in the chair at the right-hand side of the screen, trying to be smooth on what was going to be a rough day. When he and longtime analyst Nelson Burton Jr. introduced the show, Schenkel said, "If we can keep the tears away, pal, we'll be all right." And followed that with, "The curtain is going up, and it'll come down later, too." Schenkel did his best to conceal what bitterness he may have toward ABC, where he once was with Jim McKay, the star of the department. It was Schenkel who hosted the ABC's innovative coverage of the Olympic Games in the early days up at 2 and including Munich. The massacre of the Israeli wrestling team at Munich was the beginning of Schenkel's palmy days. ABC sports boss Rune Arledge, wanting someone with a hard news background, brought in McKay to anchor the coverage. Schenkel was in just for the ride. His work in college football was criticized for being too boosterish, too rah-rah, yet he and Bud Wilkinson formed a broadcast duo that covered games quite well. Schenkel let Wilkinson have a free hand in the new gadgets of TV, and he just confined himself to play-by-play and getting on and off the air. If there is a valid criticism of Schenkel to be made, it was that he was too nice, too careful not to offend. As our friend Mark Marino says, a milquetoast, which I guess is an interesting description. Chevrolet has sponsored college football on ABC forever, and Schenkel didn't want to annoy Chevy during a telecast of a Southern Methodist game, so he didn't refer to the SMU's team as the Mustangs. People might think of Ford instead of Chevy, for heaven's sakes. It's funny then, but he was pillorized for it. Schenkel was there when Notre Dame and Michigan played that 10-10 tie, when Jack Nicklaus won the U.S. Open at Baltusrol in 1967 and at Pebble Beach in 1972. He called Johnny Rogers' punt return in the 1971 Nebraska-Oklahoma game and was ringside at Grenoble in 1968 when Peggy Fleming skated to the gold medal, and in Innsbruck in 1976 when Dorothy Hamill duplicated Fleming's feat. An Indiana native, Schenkel wangled a role on the first same-day telecast of the Indy 500 and was in the pace car when driver Elton Palmer did the impossible, crashing. Schenkel came on the air only to say he was okay and stayed in the booth from then on as if a motor was running. Schenkel, who called the Masters and the New York Giants football for CBS before joining ABC, was as ubiquitous on the network's air as McKay, Bill Fleming, and Bud Palmer. But since the early 80s, when younger, newer voices got the more exotic assignments, the Professional Bowlers Tour was his bread and butter. Week after week, he told Americans, first with Billy Wailoo and then with Burton alongside, of the joys of bowling. With Burton diagramming attack angles and explaining changing lane conditions, Schenkel would call the play. Saturday, Schenkel, the consummate pro, cracked up several times. It wasn't easy to thank viewers for sending flowers or introducing old highlights of the 35 years the show's been on the air. And incidentally, I have a edited cassette tape of that broadcast here at home. The only older ABC broadcast aside from the evening news is Wide World of Sports, and the first bowling telecast was part of that show. At one point during the show, Burton asked Schenkel, what'd he do? Drive the heck out of the Shelby Mustang, wait for the phone to ring. At the end, after a retrospective of his career ended with a taped wink, he said, "It's easier to wink. It's not hard to cry either." Even as someone who tries to keep an eye on the industry, the demise of ABC's bowling show is a stunner. Only a few years ago, the Saturday afternoon package regularly outrated network coverage of baseball on NBC or golf on CBS or anything else anyone could throw at it. More homes turned into the Pro Bowlers Tour than the Masters. NBC even bought the rights to summer bowling to use as an adjunct to baseball for a time. This season, the PBA action averaged a 2.0 in the finale, pulling a 2.2 nationally. Somehow, the TV universe changed radically. Once a television staple, Championship Bowling with Joe Wilson was a feature on WGN-TV for years and drew a large audience, at once the equal in prize money and attention to pro golf. Bowling on the tour has all but disappeared. It's been a long time since we were regular viewers of the ABC PBA telecast. Hey, that was in the heyday of Joliet's Jim Stefanich, now a senior golfer, as well as Mark Roth, Marshall Holman, Earl Anthony, Carmen Salvino, and the legendary Dick Weber. And as it happened, the final match pitting the top two all-time money winners, Walter Ray Williams Jr., also a world champion horseshoe pitching champion, and Dick's son Pete. Each was about a little short of the $2 million in earnings for the career. Tiger Williams could make that loan on the pro golf tour this year alone. Williams won the match and collected $18,000, which is just chump change in golf. Finishing, during the telecast, Schenkel said that ESPN was picking up the PBA contract for the next 3 years, but as of this moment, CBS has picked up a one-year contract with an option for two more starting next year in March, so watch for it. Steve Bornstein runs both ABC Sports and ESPN. While the series may not run the same time slot or time of year, you ought to do the right thing and make sure Schenkel and Burton move to the cable that work along for the bowlers. And that's it for another month. I should be back with the football stations for the National Football League this year. And you take care of yourself, and I'll be back next month.
Thanks, Ken. And before we wrap up this edition of the DX Audio Service, I just wanted to let you know that while I'm at the National Radio Club Convention, I'm going to be listening very hard to the comments from the DX Audio Service members who are at the convention. But those of you that cannot attend, I would appreciate it if you'd write me a card or a letter and just kind of tell me some of the things that you would like to hear on the DX Audio Service, as it's time to do some soul searching here at the service and find out exactly what areas we need to improve on. Perhaps new columns to put in the magazine, etc. Be sure to let us know and do that right away so we have all the comments by the time we get back from the convention. That's all. That's it. There's no more. We're running out of time, so we'll say 73. Good DX. And get out there and support radio.